Yeah, I turned my clock back last week, I think. I'm still not sure what time it is, because I can't remember if I turned my clock back or not. I like the clocks that automatically adjust to the time, like your smartphone and your computers. They know what time it is just by being plugged in. They're very smart, because I don't know what time it is. I'd like to change the time back to 1990. Like, forget everything until... That was not a bad year, if I recall. I know what I had for dinner in 1990. It was spaghetti. The whole year, that's what I had every night. 1990 was pretty cool. Except for the song, Who Let the Dogs Out. I don't know what year that came out, but whatever year that song, Who Let the Dogs Out, was released, that should be stopped. That should have been stopped. I don't want to go back to that year.
On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting.
That was a horrible, horrible situation.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
That song should have never been released. It's an embarrassing song.
Whatever.
It's embarrassing to dogs. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Ooh. Okay. All right, listen to me. Just listen to me for just a second, or for the duration of the show, please. Man, these allergies. My nose is running like some type of a rabbit across a field of carrots. Phew, wow, bad analogy. I live in New England. I've said 1,000 times my studio is in the Boston area. A lot of you listening to the program are New Englanders. Some of you are not. How's everybody in Oklahoma? Yay. Oh, tornado season just began. Oh, that's not good. That's not good for somebody. That's bad. Trailer parks, they don't do well. They don't do well. Trailer parks, man, I'm telling you. First of all, those trailers are way too close together. Secondly, if you can outstretch your arms and touch both walls at the same time opposite each other, that's too small. Tiny house or no tiny house. And my God, a bad windstorm could sweep away your entire living space. And oh my God, you walk outside at 3 o'clock in the morning, there's going to be a flying saucer with an alien standing out there waiting to probe you. Now, for those of you that are sexually frustrated and barren, the probing part may not be so bad. But I don't want to be taken away in a spaceship to some foreign planet. I don't have a passport, so they can't take me. But my God, try to get back into this Earth without a passport. They're pretty hard on you. So trailer parks, man, they have a lot of stuff going on. And they're usually run on propane tanks. No, thank you. No, thank you. I can hardly run my gas grill on a propane tank. My steaks come out lousy. So, trailer park? No. No, 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 no. Anyway, snow is predicted again for tomorrow. Now, this is getting absolutely absurd. Someone's got to do something about this. You know, this Donald Trump guy, he's the president, but he can't do crap when it comes to the weather. And that sucks, because Obama could. I don't know. Jim Clambaker joins us again because he's our meteorologist here on this program, exclusively, by the way. Not because he's that good, just because no one else will hire him. Jim?
Hey, everybody. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. You know, weather watchers, there are two phrases you never want to hear. That's not a rash, and there's more snow on the way. And while I may not know what to do about those red spots on your hiney, it looks like Mother Nature's prescription involves shoving several more inches of snow right on up there. Sure, you've already got a couple of feet of packed powder pouring out of every available orifice, and the snowbanks on your driveway would take out the Titanic, but break out the lube and pucker up, Buttercup, because here it comes again. Why we haven't all jammed ourselves into a fleet of RVs and bolted for warmer climates and left this godforsaken frozen tundra to fend for itself is beyond me. Oh, wait, that's right, they keep canceling flights. I should be in Bangkok right now having my houseboy freshen up my cocktail and repack my bong, but no, I'm sitting here staring at weather patterns for hours on end, and believe me, at this stage of the game, what they seem to be spelling out is about one letter away from telling me to go on a freaking killing spree. Be a meteorologist in New England, they said. It'll be fun, they said. Well, they'll be the first to go when James Emerson Clambaker III has had enough. This is Jim Clambaker with your New England Broadcasting Weather Outlook. Now back to Ron Van Dam, who I love.
Oh, that's cute. He loves me. It's cold outside.
You're as cold as ice. You're willing to sacrifice our love.
Jim Clambaker loves me.
You never take advice. Someday you'll pay the price, I know.
Oh. I know, scathing. Oh, man. I'm not ready for more snow. I've had it, man. I'm going to move to 1 mile south of here. It's got to be warmer there. I have no idea. I don't know where I'm going. I'm thinking of moving back to New York City, where I spent a good chunk of my life. There was a chunk that I spent there. I did chunks in New York City. I had a chunk there. But man, just the environment, it's so upbeat. You're surrounded by millions and millions of people all the time. Also millions and millions of cockroaches. Millions and millions of cars, millions and millions of gallons of pollution, millions and millions of expensive places to live. I mean, it's not the best place in the world to live, but I'm telling you, I don't know what to do. They don't get that as mad. They never get snowstorms of a foot of snow in New York City. No, they just get like floods that flood the subway and shut the whole city of 8 million people down. Besides that, nothing much. You know, I'm going to move to a trailer park. That's where I'm going to go, to a trailer park where nothing is nailed down really permanently. I'll try that. Or maybe I'll move down to Florida or the Gulf Coast or Houston or something so I can be flooded all the time. I had about an inch and a half, maybe 2 inches of water in my basement during that first nor'easter back on, I believe it was March 2nd or something like that. Yeah. I had water in my basement, which is nothing compares to you. Who did that song? Selena Gomez? No. That bald lady. I can't remember her name now, although I did have spaghetti in 1990. Selena, Sabrina, something like that. Anyway, now I can't remember her name. That bothers me. Never happened to you where something's on the tip of your brain, tip of your tongue, and you can't think of it, and you go to bed at night, and you're up all night trying to think about it, and then you fall asleep, and you wake up, oh, that's who it is. Anyway, where do you go? You get flooded, and you get, did you hear that, did you hear this? Did you hear this? This is amazing. Apparently Uber in Arizona was doing testing on self-driving cars. And I believe there was actually someone sitting in the car at the time. In the driver's seat? I'm not sure. Just in the car. And this driverless car is driving down the street. Somehow that phrase driverless car scares the shit out of me. I don't know why, because there are a lot of drunk people that drive cars and people that are on their cell phones that drive cars that don't pay attention, and that's extremely dangerous. But a self-driving car, that doesn't, I don't know, doesn't make me feel good. It really doesn't make me feel good at all. But apparently, and this is not funny, the car struck and killed a pedestrian. I suppose what happened was the pedestrian was walking in a non-crosswalk area, and the self-driving car didn't recognize the person. I don't know what that means. I guess the self-driving car is supposed to go, "Hey, Bob, how you doing?" It didn't recognize the person because the person was in a crosswalk, and it struck and killed the person. You know, that also scares me because did you ever, if they have self-driving cars, first of all, they must always be outlawed in cities. You can't, people cross the street everywhere in a city. The crosswalk, what the hell is that? People don't do that. They just dart out between cars, and if you don't have a human being quick enough to step on the brakes. I thought the self-driving car was supposed to detect things that were coming into its path. Apparently, not people. That doesn't work. I don't know who's responsible this insurance-wise. Now, it's not the manufacturers of the self-driving car. It's not the people that installed the self-driving car. In that case, car companies would be sued every day of the week whenever there was an accident or a death. No, it's not them. It can't be them. It has to be the person who it's registered to, or the person, it can't be the person behind the wheel, because there is nobody behind the wheel. So that doesn't work. And if you are behind the wheel, and you put it in a self-driving mode, and the car kills somebody, that's not your fault, because the car is supposed to be in a self-driving mode. That's why it's called a self-driving car. So you can't hold that person responsible. So it's got to be whoever registered the car. You're going to have to take insurance out. You're the person who's going to have to pay for somebody's death. Is it worth it? I would never trust a car over myself. Never. So I don't think self-driving cars are going to happen. They can test them all they want. But the practicality of having a self-driving car in our society, well, we do sell guns to people, so I guess we can sell self-driving cars to people. I don't ever see it happening. I can't imagine sitting in a car with nobody behind the wheel or in charge of what's going on behind the wheel. And this car's going like 65 miles an hour on a highway, and I'm not, and there's nobody driving the damn thing. No, thank you. I don't think in my lifetime I will ever be that comfortable to let that occur. Well, Ron, they do have self-driving trains, you know, and the person driving the train, the high-speed trains, they're not always there. Okay, thanks for telling me that. Now I won't go on a high-speed train, self-driving high-speed trains, which they probably have in Japan. I don't know it for a fact, but I assume they do. Do they have a lot of train accidents in Japan? You know what? I don't know. Really, I don't know. Maybe they could. Maybe they do. I don't know. I don't live in Japan. Hello? Hello? I'm over here. I don't live in Japan, so I don't know how bad it is over there. Do they have self-driving cars in Japan? Hello? I don't know. I don't live there. As sophisticated as our news system is, I don't know. It's a horrible thing, though. It's a horrible thing. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think. I mean, just like there shouldn't be self-thinking people. That should not happen. People should never think on their own and then make decisions. The poster child for that would be Donald Trump. No one in a position like that should ever be allowed to make decisions on their own. And he's a great example of that. Presidents used to sit down with cabinets and all kinds of furniture, and get ideas and say, well, you're the expert, Bob. Let's go with that. You're the expert. Any other opinions? I mean, they never had an apprentice-style president who just said, You people can sit around me all you want, but it doesn't make any difference. You can tell me anything you want to tell me, but I'm not going to do it. I'm just going to do what I want to do, because I'm the king. Let's have a military parade where everybody salutes me. That would make me, that'd be great. I'd love that. I'd love that if you could. See, the problem with Donald Trump is he doesn't drink. That's the problem. The man doesn't chill. He doesn't drink. He doesn't sleep, ever. He can't sleep. You can't tweet while you're sleeping. He tweets all night. The man never sleeps. Maybe it's good that he doesn't drink. Man, can you imagine if he actually drank? Wow. Where would we be now? The man needs some sleep. I mean, I never really cared for Reagan. I guess he was harmless in a sense, and he was like, he's revered, so you don't even touch that guy. He's like Christ, you know. Reagan was the ultimate Republican. Okay, whatever, whatever. Reagan was the greatest president. You know why? Because he slept all day. That was good. When he woke up, he did little things, like ate, and maybe held a golf club and said something. The man was an actor, you know, but he had a heart. This guy, no heart. He's like the scarecrow without the heart. You got to be careful, man. This presidency is a keep your fingers crossed presidency. You just hope by the time the 4 years are over, something horrible hasn't happened in a cataclysmic manner that's irreversible. You just keep your fingers crossed continually. And why do I say 4 years? Because, A, there's no way this guy could win a second term, no matter what happened. And B, I couldn't endure it. I could not do 8 years. That's a major chunk of my life that I'm not willing to give up. I've already sacrificed 4 just to get him the hell out of here. Hopefully with Mueller's help, it'll be less. Not on purpose, just because he finds stuff out that shouldn't be. Then maybe the exit will be sooner. I don't, and I'm not saying it as a Democrat, and I'm not saying it as a Republican, I'm saying it as a human being. As a person that loves this country, and every day watches it unravel. And you may say, I love the policies of Trump. I think he's a great guy. I like the strength of this man. Okay, but wait till he does something that pisses you off or that hurts you personally. You'll find out. You'll find out. And like him, you'll probably make excuses for it, but you know in the back of your mind you fucked up. You fucked up bad. Anyway, hi. Coming up a little bit later in the show today, we have C.C. Carmichael joining us. I stated about a month ago that I was going to go on a sugar-free diet. There's no such thing, by the way. There's sugar in everything. Natural sugar apparently is okay. I just went for a blood test yesterday. They test my blood every once in a while. This time, the lady behind the counter said, are you ready to give us a urine sample? And I said, honey, open your mouth. No, I didn't say that. Oh, my God, I didn't say that. Oh, my God, why did I say that to you? Because I thought it would be funny, but it's not. Anyway, I said, yeah, I'm always ready to give a urine sample, day or night, any time of day. I'm old enough where I can give you a urine sample on command. Had I been like 20 years old and you asked for a urine sample, I'd have to say, well, let me drink a lot of water first. Now, I'm always ready. I'm always, the tank is always full. Is the tank half empty or half full? What do you care? You're going to test my urine anyway. Yeah, I'll give you a nice cup of it too. Give me some ice cubes, man. Put an olive in it because it's going to be refreshing. I'm telling you right now, you're going to love this stuff. You're going to love my urine. She said, go into the bathroom and here's a plastic cup with a lid on it. Make sure the lid is tight. Okay, thanks for telling me that. I was just going to put it on a little bit so when you picked it up, it would spill all over your dress. No, it'll be on tight. Don't worry about it. She says, there's a paper bag in there. Put it in the paper bag. The cup is already marked with your name, and then hand me the paper bag when you come out of the bathroom. I said, okay, these instructions are extremely explicit because you must have had some type of problem with this in the past, I'm assuming. Someone gave you a brown paper bag with their urine in it and the bag was wet. And you probably went, ew. You got your urine sample all over me. That's disgusting, by the way. So they tested my blood and they tested my urine, and I haven't heard back from them. Either my urine was so potent that it killed everybody in the analysis office in the lab, or they're all sitting around enjoying it with a piece of cake. I really don't know what they're doing with my urine. By the way, I should have said to the lady when I handed my urine to her in a bag, I should have said, remember, this is my urine and my urine only. This is not for mixing. This is not for mixing drinks. This is my urine. I have a copyright on my urine. I have a patent on my urine, so it is to be tested for testing purposes only. Not to, not to clean cars or anything like that with a rag. It is for testing purposes only. I would have said that to her. Also, don't fall in love with my urine. I've given my urine to a lot of people, and they fall in love with my urine. They want more. They come back and say, Ron, you went and came in for the blood test yesterday. You gave us some of your urine. Can we have more? We're just loving that stuff. It is so cool. And by the way, we think you have diabetes and a sugar problem because your urine is really sweet, man. Your urine's very tasty. Did I ever tell you the urine story? How much more of this can you listen to, by the way? So here's what happened. I think I was about maybe 14, 15 years old, and my friend Ricky had a big backyard, and every once in a while we would have sleepovers at his house. It was all cool. And we stayed dressed. And he had a big tent in the back of his house, and we would sleep in the tent overnight. Looking back at it, I don't know why, when the house was maybe only 30 feet from the tent, why we were sleeping outside. I guess it was what kids do. And there were two other kids or four of us sleeping in this tent, and we're telling stories and stuff in the middle of the night and trying to keep it quiet. And our favorite drink was, here's the kicker, our favorite drink was a thing called Mountain Dew. Now, I don't know if that's still around. I think it is. Mountain Dew in color, it's like 7-Up. The color of Mountain Dew is like a orangey kind of yellow, very similar to that of urine. It's like carbonated urine. Doesn't taste like it. Looks like carbonated urine. If your urine had a little bit of a zip and a fizz to it, it would look like Mountain Dew. Well, quite obviously, as a joke, there was one of the kids' name was Roy. And Roy was a bit of a dork. And unfortunately, dorks, when you're kids, they pay the price. It's sort of like being in the president's cabinet. You pay the price for it. You get demeaned. You get shamed. It's part of the deal. So there was Roy. Roy was, Ricky said to him, well, Roy, would you like a little cup of Mountain Dew? Roy said, sure, I love Mountain Dew. And he downed that cup. And of course, it was not Mountain Dew. It was somebody's urine. I don't recall whose, but that's not the point. So Roy drinks it, and then we all stared at Roy, waiting for the reaction. Roy never reacted to it. I think when you put urine on the rocks, when you have chilled piss, it's, I guess it goes down smooth. Roy never said a word about it, and we never said a word about it to Roy. Every minute that ticked by that you didn't tell him that he just drank a cup of urine, it would have gotten uglier. So we just never told him. Roy, if you're listening to this program, I'm only kidding. Whew. Wow. That's crazy. That's some crazy stuff. It's a true story, by the way. You know, a lot of people say, Ron, are your stories actually true? Well, no, are yours. But that one, That was true.
You know, we can't all be quite as cool as Ron Van Dam.
No.
But then again, most of us haven't had quite as long to work on it. You're listening to the Ron Van Dam Show on New England Broadcasting.
What?
Hey, CC.
Hey, CC, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you?
I'm
Ron Van Dam. I love that name.
It is a fantastic name, and I use it constantly.
Yes, I do.
I actually have no choice, CC, because it is my name.
Yes, I know.
This is CC Carmichael. She's a classically trained chef, lifestyle expert, and TV personality. She's on the Food Network, that Oprah thing, and all kinds of other networks as well. We've spoken before in the past, also in the past.
Yes, we have.
Yes, about food, which is my favorite subject. It's
me too.
Yeah, and we're talking about snacks this time around, which is are snacks like only like American, or do they do that everywhere?
I think they do it everywhere, but it feels like we started it.
Yeah, it does. It's our fault.
It's our fault.
Yes.
But I think that, you know, years ago, I think we were all kind of avoiding snacking or being very surreptitious and sneaky about our snacking. Mm-hmm. And I think that all of a sudden it seems like people are embracing snacking. And, you know, I read somewhere there's like 90% of the population admits to snacking multiple times during the day. And if you think about it, it's kind of a great, convenient way to provide flexibility for busy folks on the run. It's a good way to get sort of little healthier options in throughout the day, keep your energy up. And actually, nutritionists recommend small meals throughout the day to sort of keep your metabolism working efficiently. So I'm all about that. I call myself a grazer. That's how I eat. I don't like to sit down to a big running meal. I like to sort of like throughout, I can eat like 8 meals throughout the day and I'm happy as a clam.
Yes, little amounts of little things.
Yeah.
But snacking to some people means potato chips and all kinds of fried things.
But I think that is the beauty of the frozen food aisle.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many. What's happening is that the innovation is mind-boggling. From week to week, there's like new items coming on that are aligning with all of the sort of foodie trends and health trends. So there really is something for everybody, whether you want to eat healthy, a vegetarian, organic, low-fat, gluten-free. And the great thing also is these single-serve options, so that it really isn't. You don't have to go buy like a whole big thing and eat it. You've got these little quick, easy, and that's what I love about sort of the convenience and the variety of what you can find in the frozen food aisle.
Very nice. So let's talk about some things that would be fairly healthy options as opposed to snacks that will kill you on contact. So
that's a great way to put it. Yeah, no, I have three categories, and it's the healthy, the sweet, and the savory, what I call my, especially this month with March Madness, I call them my game day snacks.
Yes.
That are great for entertaining and great for having folks over. But for healthy options, on set here we've got some edamame, which are the soybeans, which are they're you just pop them in the oven, sprinkle them with a little coarse salt, and they're crunchy and they're healthy. They're good fibers. That's an example of like something wonderful. So you're kind of flagging in the middle of the afternoon.
Okay.
Gives you energy, gives you fiber, protein. Sweet potato fries is an alternative, sort of a healthier alternative.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got these lettuce wraps, which are made with bib lettuce, and you just take the frozen chicken and cook it up and put it in with a little sauce, and you just like eat it like a burrito, but you've got no carbs in there. People love this.
I do.
And then for sweets, which is my favorite, you know, things like the frozen eclairs and cream puffs, which you basically pull out of the freezer, thaw, and serve. And the game-changing thing to me is the single-serve pies.
Yes.
So you've got your sort of individual slices, you've got individual round pies. So have a party, and then I think it would be a great idea to have like a pie buffet and all these different varieties of pies out there. And then good old frozen yogurt that you can kind of zhuzh up with a little cookie or a little topping, and you're good to go. And then for the snacks, this is where when I say that, like there's something for everybody in the frozen food aisle, mm-hmm. and if you like have your freezer stocked, you never have to stress out about the doorbell ringing and people popping in. We've got pierogies, baked pierogies, and mini pizzas, and egg rolls, and quesadillas that are, you know, you put them in a nice big platter, and everybody can have what they want, and you can use a little, use a lot. And the beauty about freezing and the innovation in packaging is that you could just, you know, wrap it back up and put it back in the freezer until the next crowd comes over.
Wow.
So it's great. I mean, what I say about frozen food is that, you know, unlike, you know, maybe years and years ago, mm-hmm. It's so different now. It's real food that just happens to be frozen.
I like that. I like that. Okay, now now watch this. Listen to the expert now.
Okay.
Boy, that's great, CC. But I wish I could win some money and get like $5,000 for doing this.
Have I got something for you?
No.
In honor Frozen Food Month.
Mm-hmm.
Besides being able to get all those great specials when you go to the frozen food aisle,
yeah.
The National Frozen and Refrigerated Foods Association is sponsoring a $10,000 sweepstakes, $5,000 grand prize winners. All you have to do is log on to easyhomemeals.com and enter to win.
I had no idea that that was possible.
Yeah.
I did not know.
Yes,
that.
And then you can go, like, take the $5,000 and go to the frozen food aisle and really just, like, buy extra freezers and just start
buy
stocking
extra
up.
Extra freezers. That's what I...
Right?
I have no place for extra freezers, but nonetheless, I guess for $5,000 I could rent a place with extra freezers.
It's true.
Okay.
It's true.
All right. So I can go there to enter there, easyhomemeals.com.
Easyhomemeals.com.
Yeah, and how would I get more information about all kinds of snacks?
It's the same place.
Same place.
One-stop shop, easyhomemeals.com.
Right.
Great recipes and things that I talked about today and where to get them all on one stop.
Okay.
Easyhomemeals.com.
Great. And then they can see you on the Food Network. Is there a place that they can visit you on the web?
No. I'm just. They can see me on YouTube. They can see
okay.
see that actually this video. I know this is radio, but
yes.
if they want to see everything we were doing here, they can go on to.
That's what I'm
it'll
talking
be
about.
Showing up.
That's
alrighty.
What, that's what I'm talking about. Thank you so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Bye bye. All right, there you go. Those of you that live in the Boston area, good luck with your snow tomorrow. I will be here unless there's more of a power problem. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. As I said, you know, this is the fourth storm in 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks, I guess. The fourth storm. Get out, man. What the hell's going on here? The first one, I lost power. The second one, not. Third one, just a little bit of power lost. I hope this one, if this is the pattern, then this one hopefully won't be power lost. Sounds like the name of a book. And now Ron Van Damme's latest best-selling New York Times book, Power Lost, about a man whose power was lost. Power lost. Goodbye. Have yourself a wonderful day. I wish you peace. Come back again tomorrow. The door will be open. Well, it won't be, but I'll unlock it if you show up. Hey, download me. That sounds awful, Ron. That sounds really sexually perverted. Hey, baby, download me. What did that mean?